from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, what is happening, San Diego, and welcome into another edition of Gwen and Chris. Thursday afternoon here in San Diego, California. I guess it's Thursday everywhere. Not Thursday afternoon everywhere, but that's for another discussion.
What about Australia?
Another day. It's Friday morning in Australia. If you happen to be listening to us in Sydney, welcome, mate, to the show today. Chris Ello here, Tony Gwynn Jr., is back in action, but traveling, of course, with the Padres. They're on their way to Cleveland right now. They don't get in there for another couple of hours, so unlikely we will be able to hook up with Mr. Gwynn today. But on the other side of things, look what the cat dragged in. After 2 days, after 2 days of nothing but smooth operation of the show.
That's what I heard.
By Big Frank. Look out today. There could be a few mistimed buttons pushed as we get the return of Matthew Scraby. Happy and healthy once again.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Being sick, I'm a huge baby, number one. I don't like it. Number two, I hate calling in sick to work because, especially in this job specifically, because on a week like this, Chris needs all the help. Or not that Chris needs help, but it's nice to have the help during a week of four-hour shows with nothing to talk about.
Right.
So I felt extremely bad about that. And so that's why I was doing work from home, Chris.
You did a great job from home. And both Frank and I reasoned that maybe it's just better to keep you there.
Hey, if you want me to work from home, I'll do it.
Maybe just keep you at home where you seem to really shine. Frank did a great job. I want to thank Big Frank,
yes.
Frank Marchese.
Yes.
I want to thank Sam Levitt coming in for a couple of hours yesterday. You're right. These are a very slow 4 days in the sports world, and it's nice to have a full complement of hosts, but I hope all of you enjoyed what we put forth here the last couple of days.
I got good reviews.
We actually had a lot of fun. So it was, there was some good stuff. We'll have a lot of fun today. On the final day of the All-Star break, Mandy Bell from MLB.com covers the best team in the American League, and I got to tell you something. If you would have sat down at the beginning of the season and I gave you 10 choices as to who would have the best record in the American League at the All-Star break, I'm pretty sure you would have guessed Houston, Seattle, Texas, Baltimore,
New York,
Yankees,
Boston,
Toronto, Tampa Bay, Minnesota. Right? You would have guessed all those teams before you'd have got to the Cleveland Guardians. But it is the Guards who have the best record in the American League. They not only have the best record in the American League, Scraby, but they have lost, guess how many series at home this year.
Ooh, when you put me to
as they get ready
like
to host the Padres this weekend, how many series this year do you think the Guardians have lost at home?
With a record of 58-37, I'm going to say one.
How about zero?
Wow.
They have not lost a home series yet this year. The Padres will be efforting to change that starting tomorrow with Matt Waldron on the mound in Cleveland. We'll get a little bit more about the Guardians with Mandy Bell of MLB.com. Also today, this is something I actually look forward to during the All-Star break, because a lot of people make preseason picks. In fact, I think everybody at one time or another before the baseball season, you know, puts their picks. Who's going to win? Who's going to be the MVP? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? But then they never tell on themselves. They never revisit the picks so that we can see just how bad they were. Well, on this show, we do revisit the picks.
That's a highlight for us.
It is. And Scraby's got our preseason picks. We're going to run through them and see just how bad they were as we hit the All-Star break. So that's coming up a little later in the 3 o'clock hour today. Daily Gambit, Chris versus the fans, Big Five, all the regular features. And then, of course, at 5 o'clock tonight, we turn things over to the Padres Roundtable. If you missed it earlier today, a scintillating commercial free hour of Padres talk with myself and Ben and Woodsy and Annie and Elston. You know, we got into it. So
wait, you got into it like there were some arguments?
No, I don't think there was any arguments
there
today.
Seems but like there's some slight argument.
We just got into it. I mean, there's a lot to talk. There's a lot to unpack from the first half of the season. There's a lot to look forward to in the second half of the season. And you know, I think the big question is, you know, whether or not the Padres are going to get where they want to go. And you know, you look at it, Scrabe, right now. Realistically, I mean, a lot of things can happen. I mean, after all, the Dodgers could conceivably lose 14 games in a row and, you know, open up the NL West race again. But as of now, realistically, if you look at the standings in the National League, it looks like the Dodgers are going to get there. They're 7 games up in the West. Milwaukee's lead has shrunk somewhat, but they're still 4.5 up in the Central. Philadelphia is running away with the NL East. So you got to believe that those three teams are going to be in the playoffs. The Braves, despite all of their injuries, I mean, look, you take, we've talked about this with the Padres, you take arguably the best pitcher in the league off the roster before the season starts. Then you take the best player in the league off the roster once the season starts. And, you know, you're not going to be as good. The Braves without Spencer Strider, without Ronald Acuna, but they still have a 4-game lead. So let's just, for argument's sake, say that those four teams are all in pretty good shape. That leaves 2 spots remaining. And there are 8 teams, 8, within 3 games of those spots. I beg your pardon, within 4 games. Let me do my math right. The Cardinals are in the lead among that pack of 8 teams. The Mets are just a half game behind them, but they're in the playoffs if they were to start today. But then you look at the 6 teams that are all chasing: Arizona, Padres, Pirates, Giants, Reds, and even Cubs are only 4 out of a wild card spot. So, you know, look, in a simple percentage, the Padres have a 2 out of 8 chance to make the playoffs, which is 25%. FanGraphs, which I don't really know how they arrive at these kinds of numbers, they have the Padres at 39% now, for whatever that's worth. For whatever that's worth. But the bottom line is, I'll be honest with you, you know, with Yu Darvish probably not coming back, with Joe Musgrove hurting until at least August, Kevin Acey did tweet out some good news on Fernando today.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I'm out of my element.
They tweeted out some good news on Fernando today, that he's, you know, ready to potentially get back to some baseball activities, etc. So, you know, hopefully he comes back in August. Hopefully Bogarts, you know, is now healthy and stays that way. Manny and Arise are both playing, but they're playing through pain. So is Profar. You add all of that up together, you're asking for a whole lot of things to go right in order for the Padres to get one of those two spots. So I understand why elsewhere you look at the race for the National League's final two wild card spots, and you might think the Padres are unlikely to get one. After all, the Mets have hit their stride. They're 25-11 since the middle of or the beginning of June.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. They've overcome a ton of things to get where they are. The Giants, you know, look, Blake Snell could be Blake Snell in the second half. Robbie Ray is a former Cy Young Award winner, has yet to throw a pitch, but looks like he's ready to come back.
Yep.
That makes the Giants a whole lot more formidable when you include Logan Webb. I'll tell you a team that...
By the way, Logan Webb, man, why'd you have to give up the All-Star game like that for the National League?
He just wanted to throw some pitches.
Ridiculous.
He just wanted to throw some pitches.
He said, did you hear
what he said?
He said that he maybe threw too many in the bullpen, and that's why
he... he didn't hit his spots. I mean, he was getting the ball up.
Anyway.
Logan Webb is a ground ball pitcher, and he didn't get a hit his spots the other night. They touched him up pretty good. Here's the team that I think no one is talking about for the NL wild card. I think people are talking about the Cardinals, the Mets, they're in there right now. I think people are talking about the Diamondbacks, the Giants. We're certainly talking about the Padres. But who's talking about the Pirates? No one. The Pirates have won four in a row. They are right at 500. They're only a half game behind the Padres. And when you talk about young, exciting pitching, the Pirates have it.
Yes, they do.
They not only have Skeens, they have another guy named Jared Jones, who would be in the Rookie of the Year discussion if it wasn't for Skeens. They also have Mitch Keller, who's a 10-game winner. The Pirates might be a team that you have to watch. And the Reds still have all of these young guys if they get healthy, and the Cubs are still the Cubs. So I can see why people aren't thinking the Padres. But around here, I think we are all expecting the Padres to make it. And why? Because Mike Schilt has said as much. He is expecting them to make it. He's told us this all year long. He loves his team. He likes where they are. He likes what they've done. And frankly, you know, with Manny having only two hot weeks the whole first half, and with Fernando and Bogart suffering injuries, and Darvish and Musgrove going down, you know, the Padres' 50-49 record isn't that shabby.
No.
I mean, if we said we're going to take all these guys away from you, you're not going to think you're 50-49. So, you know, it's going to be interesting the second half. And I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, and I'm more guilty of it when Tony's not here, because he will always pour water on this.
What is it, Chris?
This road trip is huge.
It is.
And here's...
I don't think he would disagree.
Oh, I think
he would.
We're
in the second half now.
Yeah, but I think he'd still disagree.
We've got 63 games left.
I know, but Tony never thinks a game is important until, like, it's September 29th and it's, you know, two teams tied for the lead.
I do appreciate that, knowing that players do not panic.
I know, they don't, but we can. And here's the thing. This road trip goes to Cleveland. We already talked about that. They're the best, you know, record in the league. It also goes to Baltimore. They really are probably the best team in the American League, even though Cleveland has a slightly better record. So you're going to both those locales. And in between, you're facing the Nationals, who have been in a huge slump since they left here. But that series is going to be about a lot more than just two teams playing three baseball games. There's no doubt the Padres remember what happened, and the Nationals remember what happened when they were here a few weeks ago. So those three games are going to, you know, have you on edge. That's nine games, followed by two at home against the Dodgers. I don't want to say what if, but you're playing 11 games that I think are definitely going to be tough. You don't want to fall off the pack right now. You can't afford to fall.
No.
It's like the Tour de France.
Oh, I like it.
Right? We're in the second half. We're headed down the Pyrenees.
Ooh,
we've got a
beautiful
big, what do you call it? A a peloton
yes.
of eight riders.
Oh.
They're all grouped up.
Gives me nightmares, actually.
Those peloton combatants, the Cardinals, the Mets, the D-backs, the Padres, the Pirates, the Giants, the Reds, the Cubs, they're all in a pack. If you go 2-9 in this difficult stretch, you could look up and the rest of the pack could leave you behind. That's why I'm, you know, I think you got to be worried about these games. The Padres are at less than full strength. They're not close to full strength yet. I mean, you know, Musgrove and Fernando are a few weeks off. Bogarts is just getting back into it. Darvish isn't going to be here. Padres have to find a way to stay afloat here over the next week and a half. And I'm not concerned is the wrong word, because the Padres have shown us all year that they seem to rise to the occasion against the better teams. And the example to that is, okay, Cleveland has not lost a series at home this year. But on the flip side, Colorado has won only one road series this year. I think they're 1-12-2.
Oh, my gosh.
The Rockies in road series. Something like that. I might be off by one or two. But I know they've won only one. But we all know which one that was.
Yes.
It was here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sweep. So, you know, would it shock anybody if the Padres go to Cleveland and take 2 out of 3? Not me. That's what this team's been doing all year. We have to hope that they keep doing it. So
I'm not, I like how you said you're not concerned is the wrong word. I guess I'm aware of the situation.
I think you should be aware of it. I think you should be.
And yes, this is... For people who don't think this is must win, it has to be. You fall behind now. You don't want to rely on the 8-game win streak the Padres had to close out last year to get into the playoffs.
Well,
you want to keep pace right now.
You've got to keep pace right now, and you're right. Here's the thing: that peloton is going to keep on pedaling, and some of those teams are going to fall off. They just are. They're going to play each other, the war of attrition. But two or three of those teams are going to keep going. You got to keep up with those teams,
yep.
whichever ones they happen to be.
Yeah.
So this is a crucial 10 days and or whatever coming up for the Friars.
I think it's 11.
11-day
stretch.
They have
an off day on Monday. How nice is that? They get 4 days off, play 3 games, off day Monday, then they get to close out their road trip.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Washington next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Baltimore.
Washington.
Those are only separated by like an hour. And then they come home to take on the Dodgers.
I always hate it when they do that thing where they're like, oh, these teams are, you know, they're traveling so far. No, the Baltimore Orioles are not traveling far to go see the Washington or go play the Washington Nationals.
Washington and Baltimore are real close to each other. All right. We are underway for a Thursday. Scraby's back in the saddle.
Thank you.
I expect the wrong button to be pushed any time now in one way or another. We've got Mandy Bell. That's the wrong one. Mandy Bell, MLB.com. Whole bunch of other good stuff. The British Open or the Open Championships are underway. We'll give you a little update on how things went on day one overseas. I will tell you this. We may not have to worry about interviewing Rory McIlroy after this tournament.
Well, he did answer questions today. That was one of the
titles. Oh, really? He did today?
Even after Rory's nightmarish round, he did answer questions.
Yeah,
was the
well,
title.
He knows that he messed up after the U.S. Open. He's got to make amends for that.
Why do I not find that big of a deal? Even Charlie Hoffman was upset about it.
Well, no, he wasn't upset. He wasn't upset. He just said it was wrong for Rory to walk out on the media after the U.S. Open.
Now,
so.
The screech out, maybe a little bit too much.
I don't think he planned that. We got a lot planned, though, for you. Stick around. Gwen and Chris underway.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take one of the students, Johnson, yeah, you want to get in the bus, and Miss Selkirk, yeah, you want to get back to your marks. And we're going to... present you with situations you'll very often encounter on your buses. All right, Johnson, yeah, pull your bus in. All right, discharge your passengers. Now, out of the rearview mirror, you notice this old woman running for the bus. Yeah, you want to start running, Mrs. Selkirk? Let's see how Johnson handles this. You're pulling out much too fast, Johnson. Hold it. Yeah, she gave up halfway up in the block that time. Yeah. No, what you want to do is just kind of gradually ease out, you know, and you're kind of always holding out the hope they can catch up with the bus, you know what I mean?
That is some of the legendary work of Bob Newhart, who just passed away earlier today at the age of 94. I wanted Scraby to find a piece of that. Bob Newhart is not, I know he's not part of this particular, he's not... part of Generation Z, as it were, a little bit more back, you know, going. He's even, you know, a little older than my generation. But Bob Newhart was about as funny of a man as there ever was on this planet. And that particular piece of comedy that Scraby played there is called the Bus Driving School. And it's 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
And if you have 8 minutes of free time today, please... do yourself a favor and go to YouTube or wherever you need
to go. Yeah, YouTube, Bob Newhart, Bus Driving School.
Bus Driving School. It is, you will be rolling on the floor. You will be so happy that I told you to listen to it. Bob Newhart died today at the age of 94. One of the great comedians we've ever had. He had two great television shows. Scraby, do you know anything about the Newhart Show?
I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah, that one was the first one. And in that one, he was a psychologist in Chicago. And his wife was played by a lady named Suzanne Plachette. And I'm telling you this for a reason. The second show was called Newhart, just Newhart.
Okay.
And in that one, he, I believe, ran a motel or an inn, a ski lodge type inn in Vermont.
Okay.
The reason I'm telling you this is because the end of Newhart is one of the great moments in comedy history. The final scene of the second show is his wife from the first show, Suzanne Plachet, waking up in the middle of the night, nudging Bob Newhart and saying, "Oh my God, I just had this dream that you ran an inn in Vermont," and he told the whole story of the second show. It was a great moment in comedy.
That is, well, it was probably one of the first times it's ever done like that, because now it's kind of a cop out if a new show ends with a dream. You're like, really? I just spent 12 episodes and it's a dream?
No,
but that was probably really new.
Yeah, this was it was a dream. She said, you know, "Oh my God, you owned this inn," and he looked around like, "What are you talking about?" Etc. Maybe he said, "I ran the inn and woke her up." I don't remember,
Lisa,
but it was
Lisa
very funny.
Lisa on the chat has a good point for Gen Zers. Gen Z knows Bob Newhart as Will Ferrell's adoptive father in Elf.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he was. Thank you for bringing that up. Bob Newhart, 94. Rest in peace to him. And to all of you, I wouldn't stop talking about sports to tell you this if it wasn't that funny. But the bus driving school, 8 minutes of pure hilarity. I'm going to go listen to it myself later because I really loved it. All right, back to it. Crisello, Matt Scraby's over there. Tony is idle today. Padres and Cleveland tomorrow, the Guardians with the best record in the American League and undefeated when it comes to series on their home field this year. No one has taken a series from them yet. Matt Waldron will start the first game. Dylan Cease will start the second game. And Michael King will start the third game for the Friars. 3:10 for the pregame show tomorrow in game one of that series.
Oh, we do have our Friar Friday guest for tomorrow.
We have one tomorrow.
Yes,
I was wondering, because we only have an hour show tomorrow.
Yes, but I felt like we should check in with anyone on the team, because I know it's tough when they get out of the All-Star break, but I can't remember if it's Gillespie or Gillespie.
Logan Gillespie.
Okay, so it is Gillespie.
Yeah.
Logan Gillespie
to
is going to be our, yes.
And out of the bullpen.
He used to play, I believe he used to play out east, and so, you know, he has some experience.
We'll have him on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
Good. The leader of the Open Championships is a guy by the name of Daniel Brown. Couldn't tell you hiding or hear about him.
He sounds like he's English.
He is. He's got the English flag right next to his name there. He's on top at 6-under par. Shane Lowry.
Oh, yeah. He's an Irish guy.
The Irishman.
He won a couple years ago.
He's 5-under. Justin Thomas back in the hunt.
Where have you been?
Been a long time since we've heard that name. He's 3-under. And then on down the line, at 2-under, isn't he always there after the first round? Our guy, Xander Schauffele. So he had a good first round. My guy, Brooks Koepka, who, by the way, will never win the British Open.
He won't.
That is when, you know, that was the beginning of yours and mine's argument about Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
The day after he won, like, his fourth major, and you said, yeah, but he'll never win the British Open. And we said, why? And you said, because he hits the ball too high. And we called BS on that.
He's not going to win this tournament.
All right.
If he wins, I will have to eat my words. But
yes, you will. Yes, you will.
The weather, this is the thing with the Open Championship, is because they have so much light, they have so many different tee times, that they have one group going out in the morning and one group going out in the afternoon.
And they play an entirely different game.
Entirely different set of circumstances.
Right.
I remember Tiger, years and years and years ago, got caught in the bad weather of the morning round, and he was out of the tournament in the first round.
It can happen.
Yeah.
Koepka's -1. Scottie Scheffler, who's the odds-on favorite, came in at -1. And then on down the line you go. Phil Mickelson, not bad today for Phil, +2. Bryson DeChambeau, U.S. Open champ, +5. So he's well back, as is Rory McIlroy, +7. And there's been some talk, especially coming the other day, from Monty, Colin Montgomery, who's kind of a pill.
He's a, what do they call them, a blowhard?
He's a blowhard, he's a pill, he looks like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Diddle-oo.
Monty said that Tiger Woods ought to think about hanging him up. Days like this are not going to help Tiger's argument. Tiger shot 8 over par. He's 14 shots off the lead already. So there's that.
What was your answer about Monty? Did you guys ever ask that question in the Big Five?
We did, and I just thought Monty ought to shut up, honestly. Woods, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, he's earned the right to decide when and where he wants to step away from a game that he helped build practically by himself.
Quote about it was...
Oh, it was funny.
It was badass.
It put Monty in his place
real
fast. Because
he's like, you know what? Whenever you win one of these, you'll get to choose whether or not you play.
Yeah, no. Tiger was spot on in his rebuttal to Colin Montgomery there. All right, there's your Open update. When we come back to baseball, Mandy Bell, MLB.com, the Guards. Let's find out about the best team in the American League next on Gwynn and Chris. Hi, rolling into it here today, a three-hour show. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby back from the infirmary. Tony Gwynn Jr. traveling with the Padres to Cleveland. Believeland, where they are pretty excited, I imagine, about the Guardians, who have the best record in the American League and will host the Padres beginning tomorrow in a three-game series. To that end, Mandy Bell from MLB.com will join us shortly. It was interesting. Kevin Acey tweeted out today that Fernando not only is, you know, looking like he's making some strides, et cetera, in terms of his health, but kind of, I don't know, it was kind of intimated that there was some thought when he first went down, because I never really heard this. But it was kind of intimated when he first went down that he really may not come back this season. They were really worried about that.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And, you know, it's looking like, you know, Fernando is going to make it back, hopefully sometime in August. So, anyway, keep your fingers crossed there. I mean, if you're asking the Padres to make the playoffs without you, Darvish, and Fernando the second half,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be really tough. It's going to be tough enough without Darvish. And, you know, like we said, hopefully Musgrove will come along in August as well. One other quick baseball note for you. The Major League Baseball season for next year, 2025, if you're wondering, will actually get underway in Tokyo. Once again, the Dodgers will be playing there in Asia.
Thankfully, Chris, we don't have to wake up at 3 in the morning this year.
It won't be against us this time,
thankfully,
though. Yeah, Dodgers will be playing the Cubs to kick off the 2025 season on March 18th. The rest of the 30 teams will all play on March 27th. That is opening day for next season. It's the earliest opening day ever. Padres are going to get the Braves, it looks like, to open up next season.
Get them out of the way.
All right. Well, it's far off. But a lot of people like to know that stuff. All right, joining us right now, MLB.com, Cleveland Guardians writer Mandy Bell. Thanks so much for the time, Mandy. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. We appreciate this. Know you are enjoying a little bit of a break there. Mm-hmm. How excited are the people of Believeland? I mean, it was a couple of years ago that Cleveland made a nice run. It ended a little early in the playoffs, but after last year, 10 games under, was anybody expecting this?
No, truly, no. No one at all. And I think that's made it even more exciting for fans, because the expectations were, one, low, just because over the offseason, this team didn't really do anything, sign anybody to make this roster tremendously different than what it was last year when they were 10 games under 500. And then there's question marks of having a first-year manager take over for Terry Francona. So it was just, there was a lot of question marks, and you didn't really have any reasons to believe that there was just going to be a complete 180. And so whenever that happened at the beginning of the season, everyone's like, oh, let's enjoy this hot start while it lasts. And now we're halfway through the year, and I don't think we can call it a hot start anymore. So
no way.
It's been pretty fun for Guardians fans, it seems like. And you can see it just reflecting in the attendance this year. It's been up like crazy. So I think that they're all thoroughly enjoying this.
Talking to Mandy Bell of MLB.com about the Cleveland Guardians, and we were just talking about how the Dodgers are opening. I didn't hear the other team, Chris. I'm forgetting right now.
Cubs
in Tokyo. Why isn't Cleveland? Why don't the Guardians ever get any of these opening games across this? You know, elsewhere in the world is what I'm trying to say.
Small markets, man. It's always like
Padres
seems
are
like
small,
market.
Small markets.
That's true. But it always just seems like they're never really in that mix. I mean, they had Puerto Rico 2018, I want to say it was now, or 2017. No, 2018 it was. It was announced in 17. So 2018 they played in Puerto Rico, which was awesome for that experience just because Francisco Lindor went back to his home country, obviously, and then hit a home run. The whole place went crazy. I mean, that stuff was awesome. But since then, no, it's been relatively quiet for them to go outside of Cleveland.
Mandy, I want to ask you about a couple of, one former Padre for sure, and that's Josh Naylor. I mean, this guy, I don't know that he got enough of a chance here in San Diego. It felt like he was kind of blocked. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had signed Eric Hosmer. That never really worked out here. So Josh Naylor was moved along to Cleveland, and now this guy's turned into one of the better sluggers in the American League. 22 home runs, 70 RBIs. I'm saying that because I want to make the fans in San Diego realize how much we miss this guy. I don't know that they were necessarily expecting all of that from him, though, in Cleveland.
No, I don't think that was the expectation. I think they knew there was a lot of upside there, and they were hoping that they could tap into it. But they tried not to put many expectations on it. And, I mean, I know from our perspective as writers and reporters, we weren't really sure if he would be able to blossom into what this was. And even last year when he was unbelievable, it was more of a, okay, is that just a fluke year or is that going to be sustainable? And this year it shows that it's pretty sustainable. And it's hard to believe because that wasn't what he was as soon as he got to Cleveland. But he said he learned a lot last season because he started off the year pretty slow. Although the metrics, the underlying stuff all said that it seemed like he was going to turn a corner soon because all of his expected numbers were so much better than his actuals. But he doesn't really look too much into that stuff. He was just frustrated with how slow his start was. But he really said that he taught himself how to just stick to his plan, even whenever it's not going well. And then when you look up at the end of the year, you see the totality of everything and how he still had a successful season. So that having that belief in the back of his mind of like if he hits a rough patch of a week or two, to not let that snowball or make him press or try to change anything, because he knows last year he stuck with it and had an outstanding season. And I think that's really helped him this year stay level-headed.
The other guy that the Padres fans, maybe not as many know about this guy, being once a Padre and now a Guardian, because there was a stop in between, was Emmanuel Clase, the great closer. This guy was signed originally by the Padres, went to Texas in a trade that netted the Padres absolutely nothing. It was a player to be named later. Eventually went from Texas to Cleveland in a move that included Corey Kluber. But, you know, to say that the Guardians wouldn't be there without Naylor, okay, maybe, but they certainly wouldn't be where they are without Clase.
No, and to think that you trade that away for nothing, man, that's hard to swallow at this point. Because,
yeah, it is.
Geez, he's as good as it gets, really. And last year, he was still great, and he led the majors in saves, did all of his usual stuff. But he had more blown saves last year, too. And so it was hard for even him to really dissect what last year was and get an impression of it. He's like, I don't really know if it's successful, if it's not. And so he was in between, and we're thinking, okay, where does he go from there? And, well, I guess revenge? I don't really know. I didn't know he had another gear, but he really found it so far this year. He's been outstanding. There was no question that he would be getting the ball in the ninth in the All-Star game, because that's the man that you need to have, because he's just been absolutely lights out, and you hear every guy in the Guardians say it. Like, as soon as they get to the ninth inning, they just know it's over.
Talking to Mandy Bell of MLB.com right now on 97.3 The Fan. And I want to talk about the manager, Stephen Vogt, because number one, earlier today I found out that he was my age, Chris, which makes me feel great about my level in life.
And he's got a beard, and he's got a beard like
he does
too.
Have a beard as well. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Debuted in Major League Baseball in 2012, and then his last appearance was in 2022. And now he's a manager with the best record in the American League. How did that happen?
I don't even know if he could give you an answer to that. It's really impressive. And I think because he just finished up his career and he's not too far removed from what it is being like as a player, he's able to relate to these guys, especially the youngest. I think they're still the youngest team in baseball. And I think we said that for like four or five straight years now. But they just stay young because they keep calling up all these prospects. And so whenever you're that young, it's nice to have a guy in the room, and not to diss Terry Francona for being the old man of the group, but you now have Stephen Vogt here, and I think it's helpful for them to have someone who knows exactly what it's like to play in today's game and knows how to relate to every type of guy in the room, because he'll say it. He'll say that he was the guy who was an all-star. He was the guy who was DFA'd. He was the guy who didn't think he would make it to the majors. He was the backup. He was the utility guy. Like, he says that he has all these different roles. So I think that is helpful for him whenever he's relating to these guys. And it just seemed like he was really just adamant. I don't know. He was just really pumped up this spring coming in to just try to get everyone pulling in the same direction. And he went above and beyond to try to get everyone to buy in from day one, because he knew it was going to be tough. He knew it's a weird transition from a Hall of Fame manager to someone who literally has never managed ever and just finished his playing career. And I think he just got everyone to buy in, and they've all played like they did in 2022, where it just seemed like they were too young to know any different. And they're like, why not us? And they just have that same attitude all over again.
Mandy, we appreciate it. You're doing a great job. I want to ask you about a couple of more players here real quick. One is Jose Ramirez, because he seems like he should be in every conversation that is had about the best players in baseball, and yet I don't hear his name ever come up around the country. I know in Cleveland they know how good he is. The other guy I want to ask you about is the Major League's leading hitter. Because we have our own guy in Luis Arraez here. He's been hurt a little bit, not really carrying the big batting average at the moment. But Stephen Kwan, 352, and now enough to qualify and leading the American League in hitting. Talk a little bit about those two guys.
I know Kwan was excited to see Arraez at the All-Star game to just tell him that he's his favorite baseball player, because they're so similar.
Wow.
I mean, the approach there, it's just this old-school type of worry about batting average type of guy, and you just don't see that anymore. But they're both excellent at it, and Kwan has really come out of his shell this year. We knew that this was sort of in there because of his unbelievable contact ability at the plate. Like, his hand-eye coordination is unlike any person on the planet, and so the way that he's able to just grind through at bats and rarely ever strike out and constantly foul things off until he's able to get something to hit. It's not surprising that this is what's the result, but I think the most surprising part is that he's added a little more power this year, and he's already had his career high in homers before we even hit the All-Star break. I think he's up to 8 now, so to have that mix in there but not sacrifice any of the batting average, sacrifice any of the swing and miss, the unbelievable chase rates, all that type of stuff, to be able to add power and not sacrifice anything has been really impressive to watch. So, I mean, it really just doesn't get better for a leadoff guy than guys like Arraez and Kwan, who can always get on base. But so for the AL, there was no question in my mind that he would be leading off for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But for Jose, I mean, you ask anyone in the clubhouse and they all say the same thing too. It's just like, it's ridiculous how this guy is just flying so under the radar, not in Cleveland, but on a national scope. It just seems like guys don't understand, and people, fans, everyone don't understand that he truly is one of the best players in the game, just because it just doesn't seem like he has that same level of attention. And I kind of think he likes it, honestly. And I think all of that goes into why he wanted to stay in Cleveland and figure out a way to make an extension work, even if it was for a cheaper rate than he probably would have gotten anywhere else. And he likes it. He likes to be that underdog type mentality. He likes the small market type of feel with Cleveland. He likes everything about it. So I don't think it's something that ever bothers him. He likes to be the person who shows up and just lets his talent, his and his actions on the field speak for himself.
Yeah, Ramirez is awesome. Mandy, you're awesome. Again, thanks so much. I don't need to remind you or anybody in Cleveland that last year was the 75th year anniversary of Cleveland's last World Series championship. And I know that in the back of their minds, they're hoping maybe year 76 would be the year. That would be some kind of party that Cleveland's never seen the likes of.
That would be, because not only has it just been so long, and it's like it's the longest drought in baseball, but it's a year that no one would have expected this level of success. So if that would be able to happen this year, this town would go crazy.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, Mandy. Enjoy the weekend series with the Padres visiting, and we hope to see you again when you come back to San Diego next year. Thanks, Mandy.
Yep, thank you.
Great stuff. Mandy Bell right on top of everything there for the Cleveland Guardians. She writes for MLB.com. Very good. You know, Jose Ramirez, really, it's laughable to me that this guy, nobody talks about him at all. And, you know, I mean, if you say top players in baseball, whose names come up? You know, Aaron Judge right off the bat, Shohei right off the bat, you know, bunch of other guys. Ramirez has been in the All-Star game now four straight years. He's finished in the top 10 of the MVP balloting 4 years in a row. He's been in the top 10 in the MVP balloting in six of the last 7 years. Top 10. He's finished third, second, sixth, fourth, and 10th. I don't know how that doesn't make you one of the best players in baseball and like a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But nobody ever talks about Jose Ramirez.
I think that's what he wants.
She said. Yeah, he doesn't mind that. He just floats right on through. He's already got 23 homers this year. He only hit 24 last year. His career high is 36. I would say he's on his, well on his way to beating that. And he's well on his way to beating his RBI career high of 105. So he's already at 77. And, oh, by the way, he's stolen 18.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a fast guy to me.
He doesn't look like a fast guy. He doesn't look like a
world-class athlete, I'll say.
He doesn't. And I think that's why he's dismissed so easily.
And he shouldn't be, because he's more like us than any of those other guys.
23 homers, 18 steals.
You remember when he was almost a Padre?
There was a brief moment, and then
he signed like a 19-year extension with the Guardians.
Well, you know,
he needed some leverage.
I don't know what we would have done with him.
Well, yeah,
we got a third baseman here
and a short. He could also play shortstop, but there's our
shortstop. That's all we need. All right, Jose Ramirez. He's also won four Silver Sluggers. This guy can play. We'll take a break. Good job, Mandy Bell. More Gwen and Chris. Hour number two kicks off with a Daily Gambit. Hi, rolling into it here today. A three-hour show. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby back from the infirmary. Tony Gwynn Jr. traveling with the Padres to Cleveland. Believeland. Where they are pretty excited, I imagine, about the Guardians, who have the best record in the American League and will host the Padres beginning tomorrow in a three-game series. To that end, Mandy Bell from MLB.com will join us shortly. Let's see. It was interesting. Kevin Acey tweeted out today that Fernando not only is, you know, looking like he's making some strides, et cetera, in terms of his health, but kind of, I don't know, it was kind of intimated that there was some thought when he first went down, because I never really heard this, but it was kind of intimated when he first went down that he really may not come back this season. They were really worried about that.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And, you know, it's looking like, you know, Fernando is going to make it back, hopefully sometime in August. So, anyway, keep your fingers crossed there. I mean, if you're asking the Padres to make the playoffs without you, Darvish, and Fernando the second half,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be really tough. It's going to be tough enough without Darvish. And, you know, like we said, hopefully Musgrove will come along in August as well. One other quick baseball note for you. The Major League Baseball season for next year, 2025, if you're wondering, will actually get underway in Tokyo. Once again, the Dodgers will be playing there in Asia.
Thankfully, Chris, we don't have to wake up at 3 in the morning this year.
It won't be against us this time,
thankfully,
though. Yeah, Dodgers will be playing the Cubs to kick off the 2025 season on March 18th. The rest of the 30 teams will all play on March 27th. That is opening day for next season. It's the earliest opening day ever. Padres are going to get the Braves, it looks like, to open up next season.
Get them out of the way.
All right. Well, that's it's far off, but a lot of people like to know that stuff. All right. Joining us right now, MLB.com, Cleveland Guardians writer Mandy Bell. Thanks so much for the time, Mandy. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. We appreciate this. Know you are enjoying a little bit of a break there. How excited are the people of Believeland? I mean, it was a couple of years ago that Cleveland made a nice run. It ended a little early in the playoffs, but after last year, 10 games under, was anybody expecting this?
No, truly, no. No one at all. And I think that's made it even more exciting for fans, because the expectations were, one, low, just because over the offseason, this team didn't really do anything, sign anybody to make this roster tremendously different than what it was last year when they were 10 games under 500. And then there's question marks of having a first-year manager take over for Terry Francona. So it was just, there was a lot of question marks, and you didn't really have any reasons to believe that there was just going to be a complete 180. And so whenever that happened at the beginning of the season, everyone was like, oh, let's enjoy this hot start while it lasts. And now we're halfway through the year, and I don't think we can call it a hot start anymore. So
no way.
It's been pretty fun for Guardians fans, it seems like. And I mean, you can see it just reflecting in the attendance this year. It's been up like crazy. So I think that they're all thoroughly enjoying this.
We're talking to Mandy Bell of MLB.com about the Cleveland Guardians. And we were just talking about how the Dodgers are opening. I didn't hear the other team, Chris. I'm forgetting right now.
Cubs
in Tokyo. Why isn't Cleveland, why don't the Guardians ever get any of these opening games across this, you know, elsewhere in the world, is what I'm trying to say?
Small markets, man. It's always like,
Padres are
like
small markets.
That's true. But it always just seems like they're never really in that mix. I mean, they had Puerto Rico 2018, I want to say it was now, or 2017. No, 2018 it was. It was announced in 17. So 2018, they played in Puerto Rico, which was awesome for that experience, just because Francisco Lindor went back to his home country, obviously, and then hit a home run. The whole place went crazy. I mean, that stuff was awesome. But since then, no, it's been relatively quiet for them to go outside of Cleveland.
Mandy, I want to ask you about a couple of, one former Padre for sure, and that's Josh Naylor. I mean, this guy, I don't know that he got enough of a chance here in San Diego. It felt like he was kind of blocked. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had signed Eric Hosmer. That never really worked out here. So Josh Naylor was moved along to Cleveland, and now this guy's turned into one of the better sluggers in the American League. 22 home runs, 70 RBIs. I'm saying that because I want to make the fans in San Diego realize how much we miss this guy. I don't know that they were necessarily expecting all of that from him, though, in Cleveland.
No, I don't think that was the expectation. I think they knew there was a lot of upside there, and they were hoping that they could tap into it. But they tried not to put many expectations on it. And, I mean, I know from our perspective as writers and reporters, we weren't really sure if he would be able to blossom into what this was. And even last year when he was unbelievable, it was more of a, okay, is that just a fluke year, or is that going to be sustainable? And this year, it shows that it's pretty sustainable. And it's hard to believe because that wasn't what he was as soon as he got to Cleveland. But he said he learned a lot last season because he started off the year pretty slow. Although the metrics, the underlying stuff all said that it seemed like he was going to turn a corner soon because all of his expected numbers were so much better than his actuals. But he doesn't really look too much into that stuff. He was just frustrated with how slow his start was. But he really said that he taught himself how to just stick to his plan, even whenever it's not going well. And then when you look up at the end of the year, you see the totality of everything and how he still had a successful season. So that having that belief in the back of his mind of like, if he hits a rough patch of a week or two, to not let that snowball or make him press or try to change anything, because he knows last year he stuck with it and had an outstanding season. And I think that's really helped him this year stay level-headed.
The other guy that the Padres fans, maybe not as many know about, this guy being once a Padre and now a Guardian, because there was a stop in between, was Emmanuel Clase, the great closer. This guy was signed originally by the Padres, went to Texas in a trade that netted the Padres absolutely nothing. It was a player to be named later. Eventually went from Texas to Cleveland in a move that included Corey Kluber. But, you know, to say that the Guardians wouldn't be there without Naylor, okay, maybe, but they certainly wouldn't be where they are without Class A.
No, and to think that you trade that away for nothing, man, that's hard to swallow at this point. Because,
yeah, it is.
Geez, he's as good as it gets, really. And last year, he was still great, and he led the majors in saves, did all of his usual stuff, but he had more blown saves last year, too. And so it was hard for even him to really dissect what last year was and get an impression of it. He's like, I don't really know if it's successful, if it's not. And so he was in between, and we're thinking, okay, where does he go from there? And, well, I guess revenge? I don't really know. I didn't know he had another gear, but he really found it so far this year. He's been outstanding. There was no question that he would be getting the ball in the ninth in the All-Star game, because that's the man that you need to have, because he's just been absolutely lights out, and you hear every guy in the Guardians say it. Like, as soon as they get to the ninth inning, they just know it's over.
Talking to Mandy Bell of MLB.com right now on 97.3 The Fan. And I want to talk about the manager, Stephen Vogt, because, number one, earlier today I found out that he was my age, Chris, which makes me feel great about my level in life.
And he's got a beard like you.
He does have a beard as well. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He debuted in Major League Baseball in 2012, and then his last appearance was in 2022. And now he's a manager with the best record in the American League. How did that happen?
I don't even know if he could give you an answer to that. It's really impressive. And I think because he just finished up his career, and he's not too far removed from what it is being like as a player, he's able to relate to these guys, especially the youngest. I think they're still the youngest team in baseball. And I think we said that for like four or five straight years now, but they just stay young because they keep calling up all these prospects. And so whenever you're that young, it's nice to have a guy in the room, and not to diss Terry Francona for being the old man of the group, but you now have Stephen Vogt here, and I think it's helpful for them to have someone who knows exactly what it's like to play in today's game and knows how to relate to every type of guy in the room, because he'll say it. He'll say that he was the guy who was an all-star. He was the guy who was DFA'd. He was the guy who didn't think he would make it to the majors. He was the backup. He was the utility guy. Like, he says that he has all these different roles. So I think that is helpful for him whenever he's relating to these guys. And it just seemed like he was really just adamant. I don't know. He was just really pumped up this spring coming in to just try to get everyone pulling in the same direction. And he went above and beyond to try to get everyone to buy in from day one, because he knew it was going to be tough. He knew it's a weird transition from a Hall of Fame manager to someone who literally has never managed ever and just finished his playing career. And I think he just got everyone to buy in, and they've all played like they did in 2022, where it just seemed like they were too young to know any different. And they're like, why not us? And they just have that same attitude all over again.
Mandy, we appreciate it. You're doing a great job. I want to ask you about a couple of more players here real quick. One is Jose Ramirez, because he seems like he should be in every conversation that is had about the best players in baseball, and yet I don't hear his name ever come up around the country. I know in Cleveland they know how good he is. The other guy I want to ask you about is the Major League's leading hitter. Because we have our own guy in Luis Arraez here. He's been hurt a little bit, not really carrying the big batting average at the moment. But Stephen Kwan, 352, and now enough to qualify and leading the American League in hitting. Talk a little bit about those two guys.
I know Kwan was excited to see Arraez at the All-Star game to just tell him that he's his favorite baseball player because they're so similar.
Yeah.
I mean, the approach there, it's just this old-school type of worry about batting average type of guy, and you just don't see that anymore. But they're both excellent at it, and Kwan has really come out of his shell this year. We knew that this was sort of in there because of his unbelievable contact ability at the plate. Like, his hand-eye coordination is unlike any person on the planet, and so the way that he's able to just grind through at bats and rarely ever strike out and constantly foul things off until he's able to get something to hit. It's not surprising that this is what's the result, but I think the most surprising part is that he's added a little more power this year, and he's already had his career high in homers before we even hit the All-Star break. I think he's up to 8 now, so to have that mix in there but not sacrifice any of the batting average, sacrifice any of the swing and miss, the unbelievable chase rates, all that type of stuff, to be able to add power and not sacrifice anything has been really impressive to watch. So, I mean, it really just doesn't get better for a leadoff guy than guys like Arraez and Kwan, who can always get on base. But so for the AL, there was no question in my mind that he would be leading off for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But for Jose, I mean, you ask anyone in the clubhouse and they all say the same thing too. It's just like, it's ridiculous how this guy is just flying so under the radar, not in Cleveland, but on a national scope. It just seems like guys don't understand, and people, fans, everyone don't understand that he truly is one of the best players in the game, just because it just doesn't seem like he has that same level of attention. And I kind of think he likes it, honestly. And I think all of that goes into why he wanted to stay in Cleveland and figure out a way to make an extension work, even if it was for a cheaper rate than he probably would have gotten anywhere else. And he likes it. He likes to be that underdog type mentality. He likes the small market type of feel with Cleveland. He likes everything about it. So I don't think it's something that ever bothers him. He likes to be the person who shows up and just lets his talent, his actions on the field speak for himself.
Yeah, Ramirez is awesome. Mandy, you're awesome. Again, thanks so much. I don't need to remind you or anybody in Cleveland that last year was the 75th year anniversary of Cleveland's last World Series championship. And I know that in the back of their minds, they're hoping maybe year 76 would be the year. That would be some kind of party that Cleveland's never seen the likes of.
That would be, because not only has it just been so long, and it's like it's the longest drought in baseball, but it's a year that no one would have expected this level of success. So if that would be able to happen this year, this town would go crazy.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, Mandy. Enjoy the weekend series with the Padres visiting, and we hope to see you again when you come back to San Diego next year. Thanks, Mandy.
Yep, thank you.
Great stuff. Mandy Bell right on top of everything there for the Cleveland Guardians. She writes for MLB.com. Very good. You know, Jose Ramirez, really, it's laughable to me that this guy, nobody talks about him at all. And, you know, I mean, if you say top players in baseball, whose names come up? You know, Aaron Judge right off the bat, Shohei. Right off the bat, you know, bunch of other guys. Ramirez has been in the All-Star game now 4 straight years. He's finished in the top 10 of the MVP balloting 4 years in a row. He's been in the top 10 in the MVP balloting in 6 of the last 7 years. Top 10. He's finished 3rd, 3rd, 2nd, 6th, 4th, and 10th. I don't know how that doesn't make you one of the best players in baseball and like a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But nobody ever talks about Jose Ramirez.
I think that's what he wants.
She said. Yeah, he doesn't mind that. He just floats right on through. He's already got 23 homers this year. He only hit 24 last year. His career high is 36. I would say he's on his well on his way to beating that. And he's well on his way to beating his RBI career high of 105. So he's already at 77. And, oh, by the way, he's stolen 18.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a fast guy to me.
He doesn't look like a fast guy. He doesn't look like a
world-class athlete, I'll say.
He doesn't. And I think that's why he's dismissed so easily.
And he shouldn't be, because he's more like us than any of those other guys.
23 homers, 18 steals.
You remember when he was almost a Padre? When
there
we were talking about?
There was a brief moment of, yeah.
And then he signed like a 19-year extension with the Guardians.
Well, you know.
He needed some leverage.
I don't know what we would have done with him.
Well, yeah.
We got a third baseman here.
And a shortstop. He could also play shortstop, but there's our
shortstop. That's all we need. All right. Jose Ramirez. He's also won 4 silver sluggers. This guy can play. We'll take a break. Good job, Mandy Bell. More Gwen and Chris. Hour number 2 kicks off with a Daily Gambit.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.